Well, this is a moment I have been looking forward to all day long, and it's my honor and privilege and joy to welcome to our Women Rising main stage one of the most inspiring women in our world, in our times, who's likely already had a profound influence and impact on your life, and that is Marianne Williamson. I'm going to share a bit more about Marianne in just a moment, but role models for all of us are so important. And Marianne has accomplished so much in her life and her work. And what's remarkable is she's been doing this for so many decades at a time when there weren't necessarily role models and pathways to follow. She's a best-selling author, political activist, and spiritual thought leader. For more than three decades, she has been a leader in spiritual and religiously progressive circles. She's the author of 14 books, four of which have been number one New York Times bestsellers. The quote from the mega bestseller, Return to Love, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure," is considered an anthem for a contemporary generation of spiritual seekers. Marianne founded Project Angel Food, a nonprofit that has delivered more than 14 million meals to ill and dying and homebound patients since 1989. The group was created to help people suffering from the ravages of HIV/AIDS. She has also worked throughout her career on poverty, on anti-hunger, and racial reconciliation issues. In 2004, she co-founded the Peace Alliance and supports the creation of a U.S. Department of Peace. Can you imagine that? She ran for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. And in 2021, she launched MarianneWilliamson.stubtech.com. And of all of these accomplishments, the thing that I most deeply admire about Marianne is her boldness and courage to step forth into her highest calling. And so there's no one I would rather be here today to dive deep into this topic about stepping forward and rising to what we're called for, even when the future feels uncertain, even when you don't feel ready. Now is our time. Join me to give it up and welcome Marianne.
Hi, hello, like, welcome. I'm here.
We got you. Thank you so much. I was just sharing about your remarkable life and work and career. And thank all that you've accomplished and created. And I was sharing, we were just here appreciating you while our tech team was getting you into the center of our circle. And things that you have accomplished, you have impacted and influenced millions of people. You were someone who had a profound effect on my life. I was 19 years thank old. You. I read A Woman's Worth. And I finally saw in you a role model of the kind of person and leader that I wanted to become. And having role models and being a, you know, you are such a pioneer and you are so bold in the direction of your calling and your courage. And that's a topic that there's no one else I can imagine I would rather dive into speak about during our time.
Well, thank you.
Welcome
thank you, Claire.
To our conference. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think I shared with you that we had 1,600 women respond to a survey that we sent out before the conference. And the thing that really struck me is I've never seen women so overextended, so exhausted, so in transition, so managing multiple things these last years with a pandemic. So on the one hand, it's like we're kind of under more pressure than we ever have been. And yet, at the same time, there's an impulse to rise to something. There's a feeling like now is the time, like we came to this world for this moment and we are called, ready or not. This is game time. This is go time. It's time to rise. It's time to come forward. What do you see about that and about the opportunity and possibility for women during these times of very intense challenge, trauma, struggle, change in our world?
I thought for a long time that I don't know how anybody without a spiritual foundation is making it. This is why we have such high rates of pharmaceutical, antidepressant use, et cetera, because people are finding the anxiety that is produced by our societal conditions too difficult to bear. But nothing really is going on right now that is that much worse than before. People certainly have experienced social isolation, economic challenges, et cetera. What's really happening, though, is that societal conditions that already exist have been laid bare. And before COVID, for instance, there was so much we could do to distract ourselves. So nothing really is happening that wasn't happening before. It's just that things are open. The bankruptcy of the system is standing before us. The bankruptcy of a system in which all of our cultural conditioning leads us to compete rather than to collaborate, leads us to think of ourselves as victims rather than to think of ourselves as victors, leads us to seek to win even if it's at the expense of others, leads us into all kinds of behavior that actually increases our sense of self-reference, not self-awareness, but self-reference, which then inevitably causes suffering. So the dismantling of a world that was produced by that kind of thinking is happening all around us. It's like the fall of Rome. We're just watching everything fall apart. But at the same time, there's a simultaneous phenomenon where not only are we living at the same time as the fall of Rome, we're also living at a time when a new world is struggling to be born. And that's not only happening in our civilization, it's happening inside us. An old us is falling away, and a new us is trying to emerge. So obviously, it's a difficult time. It's a birth is messy. So it's a moment in which we're having to face all the things that do not work about the way we have lived, the way we have thought, the way we have behaved. But then at the same time, that produces some fear, because if I'm not supposed to be that, what am I supposed to be? If I'm not supposed to be the person I was, who is this person I'm becoming, and how do I step into it? Now, that's where the spiritual path comes in. But a lot of what is called the spiritual path today, even in a community like ours, is kind of silly. It's very superficial. The real spiritual path is something much deeper than just trying to be nicer. The real spiritual path is radical. The real spiritual path is the realization that every single moment of every single day, we have a choice. Every single moment, we make that choice, whether we make it unconsciously. Will my heart be open or will my heart be closed? Will I show up for this experience in this moment as the best that I'm capable of? Or will I fall into my ego default positions, whether they're neediness or controllingness or bitchiness or whining or victimization? Will I stand in my strength or will I stand in my weakness? All of us are wounded, but we have a choice whether or not to act from the wound. And when you recognize a larger picture of intentionality of the universe, you realize that every situation we're in is part of a divine curriculum. It's perfect for us. Sometimes those situations are difficult, sometimes they're easy. I think the universe presents us our lessons in ease, but if we don't learn them, they come in more and more difficult forms. But every situation is perfect. This situation invites me to be better than I was, tempts me to be at least as bad as I was. Every situation invites me into my strength, challenges me into my weakness. So when you say it's difficult to go through it, yeah. But once you realize that that's what all this is for, then you realize you're not living in a random universe where you just happen to meet somebody and it doesn't have any ultimate meaning, or you just happen to be in a circumstance and it doesn't have any ultimate meaning. You realize that everything we're going through is part of a larger co-creative birth process. And everything we do, every person we meet, every encounter, every moment is one in which we are deciding not just who we will be, but what the world will be in the future. And when you see yourself as part of a larger, more meaningful dynamic than just me getting what I want, and all of those lies we've been taught, including by our own community, that it's nothing more than me getting what I want. No. That's low-level magic. It's certainly not the miraculous. It's still staying within a universe of grasping, as Buddha would say, trying to get what I want. When you're not serving just these low-level appetites, but you're actually serving the ages, then the universe provides everything you need. The universe will make sure the money comes. The universe will make sure the people come who you need in order to co-create a better universe with. You decide what game you're going to play on this earth. You can play the low-level game, you can play the high-level game, and nobody can make that decision for us, Claire. Wow. And one of the things I see in my life all the time is 90% of the time, 90% of the time, at least, probably 100% of the time, if I'm really honest with myself, every problem I have, the answer on some level is, oh, Marianne, get over yourself. You know, I saw this list of questions. What do you see as the biggest opportunities? What is the biggest obstacles? How do you rise to your calling? How do you find courage? Too many of our questions are related to our personal self. And to the extent to which our questioning is only about our personal self, we are locked in this prison of isolation. It's when we ask, no, it's not just about me. It's how can my hands and my feet and my talents and my abilities be used to serve something bigger? Your personal self is exalted when you forget about your personal self. This is why Gandhi said, the biggest gift I can give to my country is to reduce myself to zero. And too much of what we call the spiritual life is about bolstering the sense of the small self. And that's where the suffering lies, no matter how much gold or guilt there is around your personal prison.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that and doing this, because this is conversations we have in our community. Like, when in the history of the world has life ever been about you getting what you want? Like, really?
And calling that, like, spiritual, yeah.
Right? And so what I really connected to, as you were saying, what you were sharing in the beginning, as women, like, what's the biggest opportunity for us? Like, we could decide, we could awaken to our power to decide how it's going to go on planet Earth, right? We could, as women, create the future. We could decide how things are going to go from here on out. What do you think about that?
Not if we avoid politics. We can't. It's time for us to grow up, get really mature in our conversation. You know, the people of the world are ready. The people of the world are ready. The problem is not that the people aren't ready to create a more beautiful world. The problem is that the institutions, which are the levers of power, economically, socially, and politically, are still held in the hands of more regressive forces. So, you know, we can be a bunch of enlightened people standing there when the atomic bomb drops. So we can say all we want. We can decide what's going to happen. No, not if you don't vote, and not if you don't get involved in the political changes that need to happen, because those levers of power are still being directed by fear-based dominator model, domination of peoples, domination of the earth, in ways that spell disaster for the future of the human race.
Well, and so what I hear you saying is that, you know, politics, or getting involved, getting it, like seeing, because I think there's a way, I say this with women all the time, we feel like, excuse me, we feel like we want to make a difference, and the problems feel so big. And the thing that I've learned in being involved with your campaign and being involved in your for so many years is what you're speaking to is just that how politics gives us access to the levers of real power to affect real change in the world. That the budgets of governments, you know, decide the values that shape a society, what we're going to energize and what we're going to empower, and which consciousness is at the helm of those decisions. And so I think that this speaks to, I think, the aspiration of a lot of us. You know, we want to make a difference with our gifts. We are struggling personally. We feel overextended. We feel overstretched. We want to participate. Like, so what do you see as, like, the obstacles from us seizing the power that we could have to create the future?
For, I would assume, the majority of people on this call either live in democracies or are among the privileged classes in countries that are not democracies. By definition, this is a very privileged group of people talking about how overextended we are. And this is what I meant before about how we really need to grow up. Do you know what it's like to be a woman right now in certain countries of this world? Can we get real here for a minute, Claire, and stop talking about ourselves like we're wilted flowers? like we're little precious little porcelain dolls, like we are weaklings. If you are a woman in a democracy today, or a woman who, by definition, like I said, some of the women on this call might not be from democracies, but if you're on this call, you're probably from the privileged classes within the country that's not. So you know the power that you hold. Or maybe you don't, but you know what this means for the country that you're in. The idea that there's nothing I can do. There is so much that we can do. And now, I don't think politics is the be all and the end all of social change at all. The change comes from inside the heart. But love has got to be a participatory emotion. Love has got to be not just something we feel. Love has got to be expressed as something we do. So, for instance, when you were talking about budgets just now, the president has just suggested a budget, $813 billion for the military, and that is 18 times more money spent on military equipment than on climate change mitigation. Now, every single person, for those who are listening right now who are Americans, every single person has somebody who is going to be, you know, every 2 years, there's an election in the House of Representatives. If you are involved in those elections, there's no way you can say, the problems are so big, there's just nothing I can do. We've got to stop coddling that conversation among ourselves. Because of all we're talking about is, given that we are so weak, what can we do? Given that we're so overwhelmed, what can we do? How about, given that we are so strong, what can we do? Given that we are so infinitely powerful through the God, through the power of God within us, you know, can we all just read a little history here? Now, once again, I know there are people on this call who are not Americans in your own country. You have the way the story has unfolded in yours. But for those of us who are American, do you think it was easy to be an abolitionist? Do you think it was easy to be a woman who was a woman suffragette? Do you think it was easy to be a civil rights, you know, activist? There were, you know, if I hear one more person say how traumatized they are by the whole thing, do you think the people who were walking across the bridge at Selma were not traumatized? They didn't know if they were going to send the dogs after them, the hoses after them, or even shoot them, but they walked. When the women suffragettes, who were just simply trying to get women the right to vote, because at that time, women had no rights. If your husband came home drunk, beat the children, beat you, there was no policeman to call because he had the right. If you wanted to leave him, okay, you could leave him, but you couldn't take the children with you, and you couldn't take any money with you, even if you brought money into the marriage. So they thought, well, maybe if we get the women the right to vote, and that's what they were struggling for. Now, for no other reason than that they were struggling for the right to vote, they were put in prison. And the conditions in the prison were so horrifying that they went on a hunger strike. The response of the prison officials was to send men into their cells and put these metal contraptions around their neck. There's a wonderful old HBO show called Iron-Jawed Angels with Hilary Swank and Angelica Houston. That's a great dramatization of this. So these men put these iron contraptions around their necks and force-fed them. You think those women weren't anxious? You think those women weren't overwhelmed? You think those women weren't traumatized? Can we claim our strength? You know, it's important, Claire, to own our darkness, but it's also important to own our light. And we're all wounded. These are difficult times, but you still make a choice whether to act from the wound. And we can stand on our strength and support each other in that. And that's what I want to other people to support me in. I have a friend, and every once in a while, he'll say to me, toughen up, buttercup. And when he says that, it's exactly what I need to hear. Oh, this was hard for me, or that was hard for me, or they weren't nice to me. Toughen up, buttercup. Because well, for me to be the woman I want to be and live the life I want to live, I've got to find, as Martin Luther King would say, the qualitative changes in my soul, the softness in my soul, but the toughness in my behavior.
So I so appreciate what you're giving voice to, because I think we have all these stories in our heads about all the reasons we can't. right? And so,
exactly.
Right? All the reasons that we can't, and all the imaginary idea about the one day that will come when everything is lined up and we have all the support that we need and we have, like, conditions are absolutely right. And
you know, then I'll shine.
We can rise, and then we can, like, step up, and then we can.
When it's the right man, when it's the right job, when I have the right money, when I live in the right place, I'm going to be amazing.
Right? You know, my husband, Craig, so he was part of a spiritual community for years, and they did this experiment where they tested that out to see if that were true. They created, like, nobody had to pay rent. They had 3 vegetarian meals a day. It was like utopia, and they still had all of the same issues and problems.
And that's why so many people win the lottery and then they end up losing the money, because your head has to change.
Right. And so what we're talking about, right, there's a calling that each of us has to rise right now. And there are all of these reasons we've been telling ourselves why we can't. And so what I hear you say is, like, well, why we can't, or why we're too depleted, or why we're too exhausted. How do we do it in that moment? How do we shift our consciousness in that moment and align with spirit, align with truth, align with, even though I don't feel like I have it all together, and even though I feel like the future's uncertain, I'm going to rise, I'm going to move forward. How do we do that?
First of all, if you meditate in the morning, you know, you wake up in the morning, you take a shower, you take a bath, you want to get yesterday's dirt off your body. So all the great religious and spiritual systems emphasize the power of the morning, because the morning is when you first download this mindset. So if the first thing you do is go to the newspaper, first thing you do, you download what's happening in the world, it will be very difficult to rise, because you will have allowed yourself to be inundated with all the testimony of darkness, all the testimony of the problem. The problem is real. The problem is real. The problem is real. If you, whatever your spiritual or religious path is, spend at least 5 minutes in the morning. Center yourself in the vertical in order to have power on the horizontal. Find your internal power first, and then you will have your external power. Now, it's always a matter of, you know, in the Course in Miracles, it says, miracles are everyone's rights, but purification is necessary first. When you say, how do you find it? First of all, the importance of the morning. If you have your meditation and spiritual practice time in the morning, I'm not saying you're going to be, you know, then we're enlightened masters the rest of the day, but I can tell you from my own experience, the chances of my falling off the spiritual wagon are greatly decreased if I've done my meditation time. Even if I do fall off, it's a chance I won't fall off as far, and my ability to get back on will be greatly increased. First of all, the more you do the practice, you know, doing your spiritual practice is like going to the gym. You go to the gym in order to build your physical muscles. You do your spiritual practice, whether it's A Course in Miracles or anything else, in order to build your attitudinal muscles. The world has taught us to instinctively go for the blaming thought rather than the blessing thought, to go for the obsession with the past or the future rather than remaining in the present, to go for focusing on someone's guilt rather than focusing on their innocence. We are trained into a thought system which keeps us bound to the ain't it awful, because it's a thought system that keeps perpetuating the circumstances of ain't it awful. And the Course in Miracles says you are heir to the laws that rule the world you identify with. So if you just wake up in the morning and you identify with that world, so much is wrong going on in that world right now. So if that's what you identify with, you're going to live your whole life at the effect of it. Then you're always going to be grasping to make it better. But all you're doing is trying to make it better within a situation that is a prison no matter what. Because even if you make it better, you'll be happy for about 5 minutes, and then you'll be worried about whether you're not going to lose what it is you manifest, or even it won't seem enough an hour later. If instead you do practice, and it's more than just a how-to system, it's a serious meditation, prayer, mindfulness, yoga, whatever it is, getting serious about this stuff. I am here on this earth to be a channel of love. And on this day, Where would love have me go? What would love have me do? What would love have me say and to whom? I recognize that my mortal mind is going to try to make it about me when I should make it about everybody else. My mortal mind is going to make me constrict, and I know that the light in me would have me open my heart in any given moment. The thing is, Claire, it's like, just like there is physical gravity, there's emotional, psychological, and spiritual gravity. If I go to the gym, I have a choice. So, okay, you're gonna pick up a weight right now, Marianne, and go like that? Because if you don't, it's going to be really flabby right here. Okay? Because after a certain age, if you're not doing something to hold it up, it's headed down. If you're not doing something to fight gravity, to counter gravity, then it's going down. Same with age, with the physical. Listen, all of us have been through enough to give us excuses why we're angry, excuses why we're needy, excuses why we're victims. I have them, you have them, we all have them. But you counter that, because attitudinal gravity is cynicism. Attitudinal gravity is poor me. Attitudinal gravity is negativity. Attitudinal gravity is anger, and you counter it with positivity. But it takes work. Just like you have to work in the physical muscles, you work on the attitudinal muscles. We are developing our wings. We are seeking to evolve as new people. Just like you rework your body, you say, you look in the mirror and go, I want a different body. You look in the mirror of yourself, a real look in the mirror, and you say, that's not the persona I want. That's not the personality I want. I don't want to be pathetic. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be negative. I don't want people who I respect to look at me that way. I'm going to be different, and enough other people are also trying to be different, and we're going to collaborate, and we're going to be sent into each other's presence, and we're going to change this world. That is the zeitgeist of this moment.
Mm. Wow, I love it. So can you imagine, like, what would happen if we all did that? What do you see?
Look at the state of the world. We will rise, and we will do what it takes, and we will save this ecosystem in time, and we will unrig the economy in time, and we will feed the hungry children, and we will address the starving masses, and we will wage peace instead of waging war. And we will be happy. I mean, I think we all kind of know the world we want. You know, to me, when you look at little children, like, you know, we all go on Instagram, right? And you watch these beautiful, I love the little baby ones, the little, you know, things of little children. It could be that way for everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that way for everybody all the time.
Is there a moment in your life you would be willing to share with us where you did this, where it's like everything in you was like saying this, you know, other thing, and that you aligned and you aligned and you acted and you energized this vision that you're sharing with us?
You know, we all have the places where we have the most difficult time. I've always known that my life does well when I practice preach. And the places where I've had the difficult times practicing what I preach has been more in terms of my intimate relationships. And I always say, when you know that the way you're doing it isn't working, that you start with that, because you're producing the same results. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've seen, you know, it's an intentional universe. The acorn is programmed to become the oak tree, and the bud is programmed to become the blossom. The embryo is programmed to become the baby. We're programmed to get it right. But the difference between us and the acorn is that we can say no. We can close our hearts in any moment. When we do recognize, I'm doing it wrong. My heart is closing in places where it should remain open, but my triggers are such that I am consistently closing my heart in those places where that leads to the self-sabotage, which leads to the result I do not want. Because the universe is perfect, everything you need in order to help you change is available once you are saying, I can't do this by myself, and I am willing. And one of the things that I've seen in my life is, when I would go through those things, I would find myself in the presence of people, particularly women, who simply were unscathed in the areas where I was wounded. They probably had issues in other areas, maybe even some where I was stronger than they, I don't know. But I would watch how they behaved. I would watch moments when they wouldn't get reactive where I would get reactive. They would stay lighthearted where I would get heavy. They wouldn't be negative. They would keep their mouth shut in moments when I just had to say everything I thought, right? And I love how they say in AA, you can act yourself into a new way of thinking more easily than you can think yourself into a new way of acting. So I started copying, you know, you fake it till you make it. And I remember one day when a man said to me something along the line of, you know what I love about you? You're just not blah, 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 like some of those women are. And I thought to myself, oh God, if you only knew how hard I've had to work on this. These are sometimes the things that make us feel like nobody else could possibly understand why this is a miracle. But for me in my life, this is a miracle. None of the outer things that have been changes in my life have been long-term wow. But what have been long-term wows for me are where I've seen my personality change in ways that have opened possibilities for me that did not exist prior to that.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love the practice. I love the consistency. I love this idea that, you know, to identify what we all know, right? We all know that thing that we do that really doesn't work for us.
And if you don't know your best,
And
if you don't know, your best friends could tell you. Yeah. The people around you know. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Right. That thing that we do. So it's like just making a decision to stop and just making a decision to begin to energize something else and to start to watch it. Yeah.
I want to stay with what you just said. A decision to stop as opposed to I'm working on it. There are people making a lot of money on you working on it. You know, I remember once a woman at one of my lectures many years ago who said something like, how do I stop? And she described some behavior with men. And I went, just stop it. Just don't do it anymore. I remember in the Course in Miracles reading, your anger is not justified in any form. You know, I used to have a thing with anger where I would think, why was I angry? What was it in my mommy? What was it in my daddy? What was it? All the things I could see, not that my parents ever had that issue, but I would just try to figure out why I was a certain way. And you know what has helped me the most change? When people that I respected just looked at me like, who are you? At a certain point, just stop it. Just stop it. Just don't do it. And I've had more success because then, you know, the behavior is not okay no matter what. You don't get to say, once I figured out why I'm that way, I'll change the behavior. Once I address whatever it is. No. Just don't act that way. You're an asshole when you do that. You're a jerk when you do that. Just don't do that. Don't hurt yourself that way. You don't do that. And a miracle happens because you find yourself within behavior you don't know what am I doing in here? But it's like a cookie cutter. Your batter can't go outside those confines. And it saves you and you start, and then everything you need, you say, I want to be this person who acts this way. And at first you don't feel it. You don't feel it. You don't. That's part of the problem in our society. We feel like to feel like something before we do it. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of self-indulgence. You don't always feel like doing the right thing, but you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. That's what a grown-up does. And that's what a person who's really serving themselves does. Because if you behave in a way that is not your best self, you're going to hurt yourself. People aren't going to love you. People aren't going to want to be around you. You're going to hurt other people and you're going to feel bad about that. So there's something to be said for deciding. And you say, dear God, I don't know how, but I'm willing to be gentle where I have been harsh. Please help me. I am willing not to be needy and negative and cynical. I just don't know how. It's become this habit and I need your help. and life begins to change far more than if you just say, I'm going to figure out why I am that way.
Well, you're saying something really powerful. So a couple of things I just want to underscore, right? So it's time to give up a paradigm of slow and steady progress and waiting for like circumstances, and that spirituality, what spiritual insight has always been really, other than maybe perhaps in our age, is something that's radical, is fundamentally disidentifying with the small self, identifying with a much bigger story of who we are and the connection for everything.
Exactly.
And that, you know, it's not about resolving those things as much as it is beginning with making a decision. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to let it go. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but it's my, I'm going to take a stand inside of myself to start to draw a line and not act out anymore. And that impulse, and then wait for some other impulse to begin to have space to emerge through me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in AA, they say you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think as we get older too, you're almost embarrassed by yourself. You're just kind of, you're ashamed, and you say, I've got to change. And like what you just said was really important. There's an in-between zone. You don't know how to do it right yet, but you know enough to know, I just know what is wrong. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then it emerges. It's, you know, this is what the birth of the Christ is. This is what the birth of the new self is. It's like it grows as this little thing, you know, you try, you know, it's going back to when you saw people who do it right. Well, I saw that woman and she said it that way. I'm going to try that, you know, maybe I'll try this. And you just, it kind of like, it's a new set of clothes. It's a new skin that begins to grow. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate what you just said, because we've got to get out of the old questioning, the slow and steady progress. How much time do you think we have? We're already in a war where there's maybe a 1% chance he would drop a nuclear bomb, but even 1% is too much. We're already at a time where climate scientists are telling us, you know, we could have within 15, 20 years, whole swaths of continents that are uninhabitable. I mean, I don't think most of us on this call really understand what that would mean to anything related to a way of life that we find acceptable. We don't have any more time. Grace period is over. But the Course in Miracles says that miracles collapse time, because when you wake up in the morning and you do have a willingness and a receptivity, good intentions are not enough. We all have good intentions. Nobody's on this call who doesn't have good intentions, but it's willingness and receptivity. And you do say in your own way, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? And to whom? Life changes.
Well, and life the paradox changes. Is you're not going to be left out of that, right?
Like when you're not going to be left what?
When you expand your circle of care beyond yourself and take your attention off yourself.
Take your attention. Yes. Yes. It's this me business. It's killing us. You know, in the human body, the highest actualization of every cell is collaboration with other cells to serve the healthy functioning of the organ and the organism of which they are part. When a cell disconnects from its natural intelligence, it forgets that it's here to collaborate. It goes off to do its own thing. That's called cancer. That is a malignancy. You just get together with other cells who are similarly self-referenced, and it destroys the organ and will, in time, if allowed to, destroy that cell. Mm-hmm. That malignancy is not only what has happened in the body, it is what has happened to the human race. We have been infected by a malignant thought. The malignant thought is, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. The highest level thought is, ooh, I'm being directed, just like the cell, you directed to the pancreas, you directed to the lungs, you directed to the abdomen. In civilization, you're directed to the arts, you're directed to business, you're directed to science. We're all directed to politics. We're all directed to natural intelligence, but you have to meditate, pray, etc., in order to hear the subtle, quiet voice of that guidance. And then the point is not to compete with each other. Cells don't compete, cells collaborate. Mm-hmm. And it is the competitive rather than collaborative model in our economics, in our foreign policies, and in all of the major institutional pillars that we have inherited from the 20th century that will destroy us in the 21st if we are not willing to transform them.
Mm, so powerful. And this is something that I underscore in my work about purpose, that even the question, what is my purpose? You can't really find an answer. You can only find an answer in the question,
yes,
how do I help God, Spirit, the universe fulfill its purpose?
Right. How can I collaborate with others in fulfilling the co-creative
the larger
birth
purpose
process
of
life, the planet?
Which I am serving and I am a part, and somehow that shift in attention, now suddenly your attention is off your own problems and you're tapping into a deeper source of energy.
And then your own problems. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, and then your own problems will be taken care of by a universe that knows that in serving you, you need purple pantyhose. They'll just be there.
Right. You're not going to be left out.
They'll just be there. It's like, you know, the universe will arrange that just as it arranges in the body. That's so important what you said about my purpose. We all have the same purpose. You don't have a different purpose than anyone else. To whatever extent we identify with purpose or identity that is different than anyone else's, we're staying within the isolated self. My purpose is your purpose. Your talents are different. Your skills are different. And that voice within knows in ways that we don't with our rational mind how our talents, abilities, and skills best serve the larger picture. So there we follow direction. You want me to live in Boston? You want me to live in Atlanta? You want me to go to that job or this job? You want me to be with this person or that person? And you're living from a place of following guidance from inside rather than just trying to figure out for yourself what you want. The Course in Miracles points out, you don't know what's going to happen around that bend. You can't know what would be best. Mm-hmm. But when you know that there is this intentional power in the universe, which uses all of us to the extent to which we allow ourselves to be used, then we're in a higher place. It's like I always say, in this society, when we think of success, we think in terms of taking the bull by the horns. What could be more suicidal than taking a bull by its horns? The model for success that we're talking about here is angels pushing you from behind. And angels are the thoughts of God, those little whispers, which means, oh, I had a great idea. Or it's a thought, it's an inspiration, Claire, let's talk, we haven't talked in a while, things will just happen, you'll have conversations, you'll read books, and you realize some, as Martin Luther King would say, some cosmic companionship mm-hmm. is guiding all this, and it's higher than my mortal mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So powerful. So for all of us who are feeling that calling, shifting into how can we help
and responding to the call.
Responding to that call.
The Course in Miracles says, many are called, but few are chosen, actually means everybody's called mm-hmm. all the time. Few care to listen. And that's what that quiet time is about. The world is so chaotic today. Blaise Pascal was a French philosopher who said, every problem in the world stems from people's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Hmm. Hear what it's saying. Sometimes, Claire, people say to me, I just don't know what God is saying to me. And I'll say, yes, you do. You don't like what God is saying to you. you hear it.
Well, and that's where courage comes in. So making that shift in what we're identifying as activity and listening, being of service, trusting that we are included in the circle of care that is expanded to the whole, and then listening and acting, even if we don't feel like we have all of the answers, even if we don't feel ready, even if we don't feel like we have our own stuff together, like taking that action
from a
place of receptivity.
Who has all the answers?
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, right now I'm reading a biography of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. I didn't realize he got polio at such a young age, you know. I also didn't realize he wasn't even governor of New York yet. Can you imagine? And he was really tall, handsome, really like had it all together, and then get stricken by polio and cannot walk, and yet continued in his career, became governor, then became president, led the country through World War II. I mean, it's extraordinary. I love reading biographies. Read about Lincoln, read about any great person who has achieved anything great, you will not be reading about a person who, quote unquote, had all the answers. When you read a biography of people who have achieved great things, you're going to read about people who had hard days, just like you do, and didn't have all the answers, and had weaknesses and fears and difficult times. You know, one of my, not my favorite stories, because it's not pleasurable, but something that has always impacted me is when you read about Lincoln, right? In the Civil War, they thought it was just going to be a six weeks and over. You know, as it was 600,000 people died. You know, compare that to 250,000 Americans who died in World War II, and think how much smaller the country was. So when you read biographies of Lincoln, there's one story that in all the biographies I've read about him, maybe I read two or three, that his personal secretary reports. When they would come in and they would give him the numbers of the people who had died in battles, the numbers were so high, and he would take his head in his hands and he would rock back and forth. I cannot bear it. I cannot bear it. And reading, like right now, I'm reading about Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. When he got the polio, he had already had the affair with Lucy Mercer. So Eleanor, what Eleanor was going through, because he had had that affair and she was so hurt, but then how she showed up to help him. I mean, these were people. People in history who've done great things were people. They were hurt just like us. They were having a hard time just like us.
Well, so giving up the idea that your circumstances are going to be ideal, that you're ready, and that now is the time to move forward, to make a start. To
live. And, oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on a second.
No.
And that your circumstances are by definition perfect. That's a really big deal here. The Course in Miracles says that everyone has a highly individualized curriculum. So whatever relationship we're in, any situation, it could be personal, it could be professional. How you doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, where am I? If I'm an 8, what do I have to do to be a 10? If I'm a 4, what do I have to do to be a 10? And if on any given day in this situation I'm a 4, if I can even get to a 6, it might be something as simple as call your mother. It might be, which isn't simple for some people, it might be it's really time to forgive this or that person. Or it might be some external activity. Sometimes it's a change in your consciousness, sometimes it's a change in your behavior, and usually it's a little bit of both.
Marianne, you have blasted open clarity, possibility, power. So inspired always by our conversations. And I want to just one final question. So that moment where that old story, poor me, I can't do it. If you could whisper in each woman's ear in that moment, what would you say?
Toughen up, buttercup. You know?
Yeah.
And I think the more we show up, and you certainly have been this for me, Claire, show up for other women who are trying to make it happen. We all need to develop the musculature of being there for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been that for me. We know other women. We've all got to develop that. All of us have some tougher days. Mm-hmm. I remember once I was doing an AIDS support group, and a young man came over to me and he said, oh, Marianne, he was at lunch, and the support group was at what, 2 or 3 or something. He said, I won't be there today because I'm doing good this week. I'm doing fine. So you're not going to see me today. And I said, you know, maybe this would be a week for you to come and support someone who's not doing fine. A support group shouldn't just mean support for you if you need it. Sometimes a support group is for you to be there to support someone else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes
so
that support
is stronger than align with that story of our strengths, align with the story that we have all we need to move forward. reach out, generate a field of support and connection.
And sometimes it's just, I'm going to come over and we're going to watch a romantic comedy together. We're going to watch a stupid movie together. Sometimes it's going to be, we're going to talk. And sometimes it's going to be, we're going to go out there and kick ass. That's why my slogan basically for a good life is pray in the morning and kick ass in the afternoon. Kind of a good formula. It works.
I love it. Who can take that on? Go ahead and post in the chat. And so grateful for you joining us today. We've received so much from you today.
I love you. Thank you.
I'd love to just close by doing something kind of playful and fun that we've been doing today with everybody. If you would be willing to let us play a little bit. And we've received so much energy for you, and we would love to have an opportunity just to send that energy back to you.
Thank you.
So I want to just invite you to imagine you're in the center of this global circle of thousands and thousands of women here. And we are taking in and receiving your wisdom, your power, your transmission and activation of who we are, the calling and the time being now, and the power we already have to rise. We are receiving that. And we are beaming back to you tenfold this energetic transmission that we have received, and just inviting you to hold whatever is in your heart that you're creating and you're called to. And all of us are surrounding you, and we are sending back this energy to amplify you, to support you, to appreciate you, to energize and activate everything that is in your heart that you're holding, that you're called to, that you're creating next. All of us powering you in the way you have powered us, and holding with you whatever vision is in your heart that you're called to. And we love you. We appreciate you. We are so incredibly grateful for you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Message received, power received, love received. Thank you so, so much. And
to you
and all the people in your program. I love you, Claire. Thank you, Marianne.
Appreciate you so much.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Post in the chat.
Thank you, darling.
Taking away. We're going to share some love notes with Marianne after the conference. To post in the chat whatever it is that you are most taking away from this session.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, darling. Much love to you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Toughen up, Buttercup. You know, we need some tough love. Isn't that truth? Truth is spoken. You know, I think it's so true. I think, you know, we do have real problems that we need to solve in our world and certainly in our own lives. And we have a whole category of problems that are the, you know, ways in which we are lacking perspective, or we're getting hooked into negativity and all the reasons why we can't, and all the stories that we tell ourselves. And so, you know, this is really something that I love what Marianne highlighted, the power to stop and the power to shift and the power to realign, the power to connect with our deeper truth. And, you know, this is a theme I was sharing about it this morning. It's something that Marianne shared, the other speakers have shared. But the power to rise is not a personal power. It's a power that is sourced inside of stepping into a story of life about who you are and why you're here that's so much bigger than you. There's no power in the story of just what is my purpose. It's expanding into this larger matrix of relationship and connection that includes you. It's time for us to expand our circle of care. It's time for us to awaken the power that we have to consciously align with this deeper truth. It's time for us to surround ourselves with a field of encouragement and support. You've heard this from all of our speakers today so much. So this is what we are going to, for 7 weeks in the Feminine Power Course. I'm going to share with you the step-by-step practices to make an irreversible shift to creating from this, what I like to call power center, from being able to connect to the story of who you are and your strengths, your gifts, being able to co-create in partnership with a higher power, being able to generate incredible support. And we do it in an environment like this, where we are together and we are encouraging and we are supporting each other and we are cultivating the practices So I'd love to share with you, I'm not going to take much time to speak about this opportunity. So one of the things that we are doing as part of the launch of our spring cohort of our Feminine Power Essential course for the Awakening Woman is when you register to join our course, you are going to get access to all of the conference audios, everything from today with transcripts and lifetime access to the recordings, as well as access to all of the recordings that you're going to hear from the speakers ahead. And I just want to share that with you because our registration is now open. We are officially opening up registration today. And there's an exclusive invitation for all of the participants who are just part of the Women Rising series that I want to share with you very quickly. So I want to make sure you have this because if you already know this is something that you want to participate in, we have opened up registration today as part of the conference. So you can, you know, if you're looking for a structure to be able to move forward, to integrate, to apply this to your life, there is such an extraordinary opportunity to join me in this beautiful circle of energetic support and empowerment to learn my proven method for making the shift to creating from this new system of power. So you're going to get access to my flagship Feminine Power Essential course for the Awakening Woman. That is a step-by-step process of making the shift to create from this power system at the level of self-actualization. You're going to learn how to connect with your deeper desires, learn how to release inner barriers and blockages, become a master creator with your feminine navigation system, be able to create support. And in 7 weeks, we're going to nurture these insights and opening from the conference to be able to create something really tangible and concrete in your life. So you're going to get access to some special bonuses just for being part of the conference when you register for the course as part of our spring cohort. You can go onto the page to find all of the details. You're going to get access to the complete recordings from the series, all of the new recordings from today's sessions, as well as all of the recordings from our speakers that you're going to hear ahead. And we're going to come together in June for, we led this event last year and participants said it is the number one women's breakthrough event in the entire world today, where we're going to come together and we're going to have a year's worth of growth and forward momentum in 3 days. You can join in from anywhere in the world. So you're going to get a ticket to a live event where I'm personally going to lead you through the most powerful feminine power practices from the course. So you'll experience the magic of feminine power live. We're going to be in a studio. We're going to be able to see each other. We're going to be able to interact. And women who joined in last year said it was the most life-changing event that they have ever been a part of. So you're going to get a ticket to that event in June. These are the bonuses when you join the course. In addition to the conference, you're also going to get one-on-one support from one of our team members who's going to help you to identify the steps and pathway forward to success. And so all of the value of the training is absolutely extraordinary. We have a special offer and invitation for you just by going to femininepower.com/course. You can preview that. You can find out about it. I know there are women who are already posting and writing to our support team that they want the details. They want to be a part of it. So if you are benefiting immensely from today, if you feel like now is the time to step forward and rise, there is no better support structure that you could give yourself than to come and be part of the spring course with me, with the brilliant women, with our senior coaches who you will meet later on today. I'm going to introduce you to some of our senior coaches where there's weekly power circles, so much. So I just wanted to let you know that there is that opportunity. And I encourage you to go right now to femininepower.com /course, femininepower.com/course. We can get the link in the chat. I want to invite you to go and check it out. And so, with that, femininepower.com/course, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share that invitation with you. I'll be talking more about feminine power, and we're going to be going into this very deeply next week in the final masterclass. And so with that, I would love to just take a moment just to take a quick break, and we're going to be back